We're doing the Bible reading, which is from Psalm 10 today. So I'll just give you a bit of time to find that in your Bibles. So Psalm 10. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will ever shake me." He swears, "No one will ever do me harm." His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for all his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, "God will never notice." God covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The nation will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror.
Well, here's a question. When is complaining ever a good thing? I'm not sure if this even exists, but would any of you want to have a job at the Queensland Health COVID testing complaints hotline? When is complaining ever good? You know, for you parents, what sort of words have you faced from your kids at the dinner table when you serve food up to them that you've prepared? I mean, dare I say, have you ever heard words like, "This is disgusting"? Maybe things like, "This meat is too chewy. This cheese is too yellow. These spaghetti pieces are too long. These chicken nuggets have too much crumbs on them. These chicken nuggets don't have enough crumbs on them." When is complaining ever a good thing? We don't like to be around complainers. We don't like to be on the receiving end of complaint. And yet I am telling you, it is good to complain to God. It's necessary to complain to God. Now, I realize that sounds wrong, because, you know, when you're a Christian, you're actually called to be thankful and content. But learning to complain is part of this gift that God gives us, to lament. It's part of the gift that God gives us to be able to live in the gap between our pain and God's promises. Lament. Here's what we're looking at in this series in January. This little series is based on this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, a book by Mark Vrogop. Last week we looked at the first step, turn. When in pain, God's people need to turn to God in prayer. Even if it's a groan or a cry, the worst thing we can do is to remain silent. The next step is to complain. Did you know that the Bible is full of creative complaining? It is sorrow, fear, frustration, disappointment, confusion. They even set complaining to music. The Psalms, the Bible's playlist. Imagine having music pumping through your earbuds, music of complaining. We'd think, well, we may as well listen to the sound of, I don't know, nails across blackboard or something. Except this complaint is good. This type of complaint is not sinful. It's helpful. It's redemptive. As we're going to see, to complain is part of lament. It's not a whinge. It's not like an ungrateful, entitled customer who demands a redo of their salad because their baby spinach leaves a little bit droopy or something. No, this is humble prayer to God, making a case against God that our circumstances, what we're going through, just does not seem to align with His character and His promises. Last week I said, it's much worse than turning to God in prayer is actually remaining silent. Well, much worse than complaint towards God is living in denial. You know, everything is fine, everything is awesome, there's nothing to see here, but that attitude doesn't help us. That attitude won't help us to grow. Maybe you need to be coaxed out of your self-protective cave. I want to say, don't be so stoic. But be honest, complain. Let's learn to lament together. Well, let's have a look at Psalm 10. Have that in front of you open. Have a look there. It starts right off the bat with a complaint. Notice the question marks. Have a look, verse 1 there. It says, why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We're not really sure what this psalm writer was facing, but it's clear enough what they're feeling. They're in suffering. They're in pain. And the question is, God, why are you a bystander? Why do you stand so far off? It makes me think of those situations, and I'm sure we've seen them, or maybe you've seen them around, or you've been part of them. But you know, you're sitting on a train, a bus, and there's a young woman there, and some guys come along, and they're harassing her. They're saying disparaging things about her. Maybe they're racist things, maybe they're sexual things. You know the scenario. Everyone is silent. Everyone is frozen. You know, the Christian thing is to be brave and stand up and do something for the vulnerable and the helpless. Fellas, I want to say, I hope you would do something. I hope I would do something. But this psalm writer is saying, God, in the face of injustice and pain, why don't you do something? Why are you frozen and inactive? Read the second part of verse 1 there. You see the writer's getting very personal. It's like he's sort of twisting the knife. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The charge is being laid. Not only is God sitting at the back of the bus not doing a thing, but he's slinking down in the back of the bus, sort of putting his eyes down, hoping he doesn't get eye contact with anyone. This is the case that the psalm writer is making against God. Basically, the psalm writer is saying, God, you are not acting like God. Just to see how personal this is, just how personal he's making it really, notice the name that the psalm writer, verse 1, is using for God. It's easy to sort of skip over it. It's easy to actually not even notice that it's there. But have a look again. The word for God is actually the word the Lord. The Lord, all in capital letters. This is the special, personal name for God. This is the God who revealed himself to the nation of Israel at the time of the Exodus. This is the Lord Jehovah, or more likely pronounced Yahweh. The Lord hears the cries of the enslaved Israelites. The Lord heard and saw their suffering. And the Lord, through Moses, did mighty and amazing acts and wonders to hard-hearted Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He showed that he is God. He is the Lord. He rescued them out of slavery. So can you see how this psalm writer is making it personal? Lord, the Lord, why are you not acting like the Lord? So So this is part of lament. When was the last time you felt like this? That you're struggling and suffering and God feels to be so remote. The bystander hiding at the back of the bus hoping that no one sees him. You know, that you're facing the remoteness of God in so much pain. Now, I just want to say, to have those feelings, it's not invalid. It's not sinful. It's part of the journey of faith. I was talking to a couple during the week and they were stricken with sorrow. This sense of being run over by the pain that they had no idea was just around the corner. And we prayed, and I was trying to pray with a faith-filled lament, complaint, asking questions of God. See, in faith, it's okay to feel and ask if God is not being very God-like, to struggle with him. Now, the sort of sorrow to bring about our lamenting complaint can be big, it can be small, you know, it can be infertility, losing a job, broken engagement, a spouse having an affair, cancer, your husband died, your child didn't get an invite to a party again. Those things hurt. And it's okay to speak to God in lament, with a complaint. The Bible is very creative in giving us complaints. Psalm 10 is not the only one. Dozens of psalms ask questions of God. I'll give you some examples. They'll be on the screen, like this one, Psalm 44. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? Or Psalm 88. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Or Psalm 12. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You know, if the Bible does it, it can't be wrong for us to do it either. In fact, here's an ad break. It's like last week, actually, another spotlight on our new Christ Central playlist, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. We've got our playlist in Spotify and other places too. But these songs ask questions of God. Like the one from the group Bill Frost Arts. Cool name, Bill Frost Arts. But they have this song called Our Song in the Night. And it goes, we are broken. Are we forsaken? Has your love gone down with the sun and your mercy through all history? Is it abandoned and undone? Have a listen to those beautiful songs that we put together on lament. So if you're feeling angry, disillusioned, frustrated, feel that God has some questions to answer, well, God can handle it. It's the journey of faith. Let's stay with this psalm a bit more, because it does shed a bit more light on what is causing this person so much pain. And this is about, it's bringing your frustrations. Bring your frustrations. For this psalm writer, his frustrations are around the injustices, the abuses, also the prosperity, the happy-go-life of those who don't care less about God. Just have a read from, you know, just have a read from verse 2, where it says there, in his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. The person is asking questions of God because it looks like the wicked and the faithless are right. For them, God is irrelevant. Well, God in his absence, it's like he's proving them true. I mean, in this psalm, we're given the inner thought life, the thought bubbles, you know, that dot, dot, dot cloud of those who don't care less about God. Like verse 4, in all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Verse 6, he says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears no one will ever do me harm. Verse 11, he says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Verse 13, at the end of that verse, he won't call me to account. And with that view of the world, they cause suffering and pain upon others. They think they can get away with anything. I mean, have a look at verse 8. It says there, he lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. Truth be told, you know, if you're a Christian, do you ever look out in the world and think, God, what are you doing? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You know, I think we might be drawn to all sorts of different examples of injustice. You know, for me, my mind goes to the massive global atrocity that is sexual slavery of women and children in rooms across the world in front of cameras, converted into objects to be abused. You know, those pimps and pedophiles and porn consumers just lap it up and they think they get away with it. Why does it seem that they get away with it? And so many people, their lives, their souls are crushed. That is going constantly on around us. They live as if God does not matter. And it seems to be true. Why, God, are you sitting at the back of the bus, head down, doing nothing? We can look at so many injustices and atrocities around the world. But I also want us to bring our lament a lot closer to home. Because I think for a lot of us, where we really burn, it's not only because of what we see, you know, in the news, but actually just what we see in our neighbours. It's just what we have to live with and see every day. The people on our street, you know, how many of them care about God? Does the Lord matter to them? Does it cost them not to be Christian? Look at their lives. It does not. I mean, have a look at verse 5. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. Being honest, do you ever think, why do I bother? There's a whole Christian worldview that I have and many of you have about the Bible and God's Word and how we spend time with one another in Christian community and our view on sexuality and our view on the future, heaven and hell. And yet this world seems to be proving, you know, we're foolish, we're on the wrong side of history, as they say, we're wasting our money, we're wasting our time. So we're forced to ask heavy questions about ourselves, about our faith. The point of lament is to turn those questions towards God. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Complaint is part of lament. It's how to exercise faith. Now, as we'll see over these weeks, though, it's important that we don't get stuck and just stop on complaint. We can't just get stuck there. We actually do need to move through it. And like all the Psalms, Psalm 10 doesn't stop with complaint. There actually is a change point in this psalm. And I just want to say for Christians, well, we do need to lift our eyes to the Lord, that somehow our grieving hearts would experience change too. And in this psalm, have a look. Verse 12 is where the turn happens, where the change happens. Verse 12. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. And this psalm moves towards the end. We see words that God is not sitting at the back of the bus, keeping his eyes down, hoping no one notices him. Now, that's not what this psalmist actually ultimately believes. That is not God. That is not the God of Exodus. And that is not the God of now. I mean, look at verse 14. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the helpless. But you, God, you see the trouble of the afflicted. You know, have a look at verse 15 even. You know, talk about an orthopedic surgeon's nightmare. Lord, break the arm of the wicked man. Yes, the man who turns on the camera and wants to lay his hand on that girl again. Break his arm. But really, it's break his power, break his arrogance. In verse 16, the psalm makes the acknowledgement about God. Have a look at 16 verse, well, the first part of 16. The Lord God is King forever and ever. The nations will perish from this land. These words of lament have been the words of lament for Christians for the last 2,000 years. Faith in the midst of suffering. Faith in the might and power and ultimate victory of God when it looks like he is silent. But I want us to think about one more moment of complaint. It's not Psalm 10, it's actually Psalm 22. Really, it's the most famous complaint in all the Bible because it was Jesus who took up the words. He made this complaint his own on the cross. As Jesus was hanging there nailed, struggling for breath, darkness came over the whole land and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Jesus asking a pain-riddled question towards his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus, so brutally honest, asking a question when he's enduring pain and abandonment that none of us can imagine. Jesus faced such forsakenness, but his Holy Spirit saw him through to the other side of death, to resurrection, to his eternal rule, and through faith in him, through unity with him, we know that Jesus is King. You know, we look back at the historical reality of the cross so that we might look ahead in faith to know that Jesus will judge the wicked and the proud and those who oppress and abuse. Jesus will judge. We look ahead and we remember and trust that God indeed will jealously defend those who suffer and the afflicted. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lord. In faith, he offered a biblical complaint. Jesus did. And all those who belong to him, we should offer up our complaints as well. Our complaining can come from those who are proud, demanding, entitled. But as we learn to lament, that's not what it's about. We don't come with our pride. We humbly come with our pain. What have you faced in life which gives you cause to complain? I'll mention two more things, and these have come just from conversations with people in the last week from our church family. The first issue is COVID. You know, losing work, not being able to get a new job, having their movements restricted. The way people are feeling and experiencing government treatment of them, it's totally a good reason to turn to God with lament, your complaint. The second issue is church leaders who should be trusted but instead let you down. who cover things up, who let abusers continue, whose hypocrisy means they're happy to leave things in the dark and people just get hurt as people protect their position. That is totally a reason to bring your hurt to God and lament, offer your complaint. And that's just two issues amongst so many. Now, next week in our journey through the pathway of lament, we come to the next one, which is ask boldly. But for next Sunday, I just want to give you an open invitation now. For anyone who wants to, we're going to have a time of prayer. Just down the front here, during morning tea, we can just offer prayer points. Maybe we can offer some painful prayer points. Look, we've all got our L plates on in terms of lament. We're all learning how to do this, but we're just going to have a time for anyone who wants to over morning tea next week. And here's something else. This week, how about you take some time to write down, to journal your complaint? Put into words to help you talk to God. Words could be, God, you are faithful and good, but why? And the rest. Lord, thank you for Jesus, but how come? And the rest. God, I know you are not, but it sure feels like. Let's not be silent. Let's not pretend everything is okay when it's not. This is how we live by faith. Lament is how we live between the poles of our struggles and God's sovereign rule. It's how we live in the gap between our pain and his promises. And Jesus, who went to the cross so that we can be rescued, he knows our pain. He knows what forsakenness feels like. And he is our King who rules forever and ever. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to pray with me as well. Dear Heavenly Father, I do not know all the frustrations and disappointments and fears that are within this room, but you know. You know what weighs on our hearts. Father, please keep us from despairing anger. Keep us from stoic silence when plainly things are not okay. May we learn to lament so that we might be honest, brutally honest with you. Thank you. We know you can take it. Father, you are faithful and good, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Why do you hide your face? How long, O Lord, must we suffer? Those who are wicked prosper. Those who are wicked seem to get away with so much, and it makes us wonder. So arise, Lord, arise and show yourself as King. We praise you that Jesus indeed is the reigning King that all the world will one day know. And thank you that he felt such utter forsakenness at the cross for us. Thank you that at the cross he offered his complaint and was part of your plan. And today we know again that you have your plans for our good and your glory. Help us to trust in you. Life can be so painful, so unfair. We feel attacked and lonely and misunderstood and misrepresented, while others who deny you get away with so much and they enjoy so much. We just don't understand. So please help us by your Holy Spirit, through the promises of your word, minister to our heavy hearts. Help us to know you afresh. Help us to know that you are powerful and mighty and gracious and faithful and good. Help us to have faith in how mighty and gracious our Saviour Jesus is. And in his name we pray. Amen.